Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Lamed Aleph. Final daf of the second parak of the Masechta. We are in Lamed Amud Beis. We are about half of the way down, and we are starting today with the words Amar Ula Vitemer of Oshia. It's a little bit less than half the way down. Gemara yesterday introduced us to the idea of Erev Machshavas. When you're doing a avoda, when the Kohen's doing avoda with a carbon, so he has an opportunity, not a good opportunity, a bad opportunity, but he has an opportunity to be mefag of a carbon. If he has a machshav of chutzuzmano and only chutzuzmano exclusively, so the animal now is rendered pigel, and the carbon, let's say better, the carbon is rendered pigel, eating of that carbon is subject to a kares prohibition. So, and if there's a machshav of chutzum komo, so he disqualifies the carbon becomes possible, but the carbon is not subject to the kares penalty. If he has both machshavas, if he has a chutzes mano and a chutzim kamo, this is what's called in halacha, ear of machshavas. This is now a combination of machshavas. And the Mishnah taught us that the carbon is going to be disqualified, but not going to be subject to kares. So that's the halacha we learned together in the Mishnah. On top of that, the Mishnah also brought down a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim are of the opinion that when you have ear of machshavas, it doesn't matter how the tarovis is formed. Whether you have the machshava of chutzes mano first and followed by the chutzim kamo, or whether you have the chutzim kamo first followed by the chutzes mano, it simply does not matter. Once you have an ear of machshavas, once you have a combination of machshavas, so the it will not ever materialize into full-fledged pigle. And the animal and the carbon will never be subject to a kares penalty. However, on the other hand, Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda says it depends which one comes first. In other words, Rav Yehuda has basically a primacy effect as it relates to a machshava. If you have the machshava chutzes mano before the chutzim kamos, and then the animal is in fact pigel major, and subject to kares. If, however, you have the chutzim kamo before the chutzes mano, so then it's not going to be subject to pigel, and Rav Yehuda extends primacy to the significance to the first machshava that comes out of the person's mouth. This position of Rav Yehuda, is he arguing on the Chachamim when it's b'shtei avodos? That's clear. What if it's avoda achas? Not clear. Avoda achas, as we learned in yesterday's daf, machlokas between the Amorim, between Ilf and Rav Yochanan, whether or not they're arguing b'avoda achas or they're arguing b'shtei avodos. So that was one of the discussions that we had yesterday. And now we're going to be continuing along the Amorim. The Amorim are spending a good amount of time with this machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. This is where we are right now in the Gemara, on Lamed Beis, with the discussion of Ula, or some have a different girsa, Rav Oshia. But in either event, they're going to be discussing the following. Okay, look. Again, we know for sure that Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing in a case where if in one avoda you have one machshava, and in another avoda you have a second machshava. So, according to the Chachamim, that in either event it's erev machshavas, it's now a combination of machshavas, and it will not result in pigel. And according to Rav Yehuda, depends which one comes out first. If the chutzis mana comes first, so then it's pigel major, meaning subject to kares. If the chutzim kama comes out first, it's pigel minor. In other words, it's not going to be in a sakaris for eating that animal. That we know for sure. Now, what the Gemara is going to entertain now are basically different variations of this discussion, this debate. Meaning, basically, what the Gemara now is going to do is test the limits in terms of, is there ever going to come a point in time where even according to Rav Yehuda, it's going to be Erev Machshavas, it's going to be considered combined. Now, in order to appreciate the Gemara that we're about to learn in just a moment, let's just go over various permutations of what a person could say. A person could say kezias, meaning I'm going to have a kezias of one, and I'm going to have a kezias in another, but he doesn't have a vav. He doesn't have a vav in the middle. In other words, there's no conjunction joining them. So under those circumstances, we have a machlokas, meaning that's pretty clear that the Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim are debating where he says kezias, follow them by kezias, without the vav in the middle. If he says kezias v'kezias, and he has a vav in the middle, so now that vav obviously serves as a conjunction, it joins the two, and it links the two. Maybe Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim wouldn't argue in such a case, maybe. And then, let's imagine that he has an Erev Machshavas where he says, I'm going to eat a kezias of this outside of its wrong place and outside of its wrong time. Meaning now he's talking about one kezias, and there he's talking about doing two things to this one kezias. Eating it both in the wrong location, chutzim kamo, and chutzis mano. So there, I can make a really easy argument that under those circumstances, Rav Yehuda is not going to argue. meaning Rav Yehuda will give primacy and significance to the first thing that comes out of his mouth, if they're two separate kezayisim. But over here, it's one kezayis, and he's going to do two things to this one kezayis. Eat it outside if it's the wrong place, and outside at the wrong time. So we have really three different scenarios. One, where it's kezayis, followed then by another word, kezayis. Two, where it's kezayis, v'kezayis. Three, where it's one singular kezayis, and he plans on doing two things wrong with that one kezayis. Now, in the first scenario, we know that Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim are certainly arguing. In the third scenario, the Gemara doesn't talk about it. I'm sorry, let me say it better. The Mishnah doesn't talk about it, but you can make an easy argument that that's Erev Machshavos according to everybody. And Rav Yehuda's not going to argue. What about the middle scenario? So stay tuned. The Gemara starts off like this: Amar Ula, Vitem Rav Oshia, Efshar Yadain Chavrin Bavlai Kezayis Kezayis Tanan U Kezayis V'Kezayis Tanan. So the question goes like this: the Babylonians, when he says Babylonians, he's talking about to the Bnei HaYeshiva in Bavel. So when you're learning the Mishnah, are you saying the Mishnah Kezayis Kezayis, or are you saying the Mishnah Kezayis U Kezayis? Kezayis Kezayis Tanan Avah Kezayis U Kezayis Divra Akol Erev Machshavos Ave. Is the Mishnah only limited to Kezayis Kezayis without the Vav? But if a Vav is inserted, so then according to everybody in the Mishnah, meaning both according to the Chachamim and according to Rav Yehuda, you have Erev Machshavos. Odimu Kezayis V'Kezayis Tanan Dol Rav Yehuda Prata Have V'Kol Shekein Kezayis Kezayis. Or maybe no. Maybe when you're learning the Mishnah, you're learning the Mishnah Kezayis V'Kezayis, meaning with the Vav, and even in such a scenario, Rav Yehuda would say that's still considered individualized. And then Rav Yehuda would argue that whichever one comes first is the significant one. Now, if you're saying that by Kezayis V'Kezayis, you certainly will say that by Kezayis Kezayis without the Vav. Maybe that's how to learn the Mishnah. So Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, let's see. Debamine Levi Mirabi. So the Gemara says, well, we're going to learn the answer to this question based on a dialogue that takes place between Levi and Rebbe. Levi was of the first generation of Amoraim. Levi lived during the same time as Rav and Shmuel, and his Rebbe was Rebbe. Okay, that makes sense. In other words, Rebbe was the Rebbe to all these first generation Amoraim. Maybe not Shmuel, but okay. But certainly he was the Rebbe to Levi, he was the Rebbe to Rav. Anyway, so Levi asked the following question from Rebbe. Chishev lecho kezayis lamachar b'chutz mahu. What if you had a intention to eat one kezayis, but chutz nazmano and chutz nazmano, but to one kezayis? So in other words, so the Kohen, while shechting the animal, says, you know what? With one kezayis of this animal, I'm going to eat it both chutz nazmano, outside of prescribed time, and chutz nazmano. What would be the halacha over there? Amar lei zu she'ela erev machshavos havei. So the response was, this is Erev Machshavos, meaning what are you asking me? Meaning that clearly is a mixture of Machshavos. Now, so the question that Levi asked from Rebbe was a question where, again, the way I set it up in the introduction, in other words, this is the one that's most obviously Erev Machshavos. Because you're only thinking about one kezayis, and even in that one kezayis, you're both thinking about chutz nazmano and chutz nazmano. Rebbe's response was, it's Erev Machshavos, meaning according to everyone. I'm a lefan of Rabbi Shimon Berebi, lo mishna senuhi. So Rabbi Shimon Berebi, meaning Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, says to Levi, look, I don't even understand why you're asking that question, meaning that's the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, lecho kezayis b'chutz kezayis l'machar. Kezayis l'machar kezayis b'chutz. Kechatzi zayis b'chutz kechatzi zayis l'machar. Kechatzi zayis l'machar kechatzi zayis b'chutz. Pasol v'im bokaris. So in other words, the first thing he did is he quoted over the entire Mishnah that we learned already in yesterday's daf. Now, Ha idach erev machshavos have. Meaning, what Rabbi Shimon now is saying to Levi is as follows. Meaning, don't you know the Mishnah? Meaning, if you go over the Mishnah gives you all the examples where Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing. Anything short of the Mishnah, anything not included in the Mishnah, is clearly not open to a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Your question is one kezayis, where in that one kezayis you have dual machshava of chutz nazmano and chutz nazmano on the one kezayis. That's not in the Mishnah. Your case is not recorded in the Mishnah. By virtue of the fact that it's not recorded in the Mishnah, so can't you clearly argue, therefore, that this is not subject to a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? So Amar Lei, Hu Shaal Bi Davar Chachma, Va'at Amar Mishnah Senu. So Levi says back to Rabbi Shimon, look, he's asking a really good question, and now you want to point to the Mishnah. Now, L'diditcha di'isnesecha tartalo kashalach, L'didei de lo asnisa elechada v'ashmin l'rabbana de kagarsi tarte V'savar didi davka v'didu erev machshavas havei. Odilma didu davka v'lididi shir sharilei. U'midisharilei lididi hasharilu lididu nami. Bahach. Now I know I just read a lot of Gemara, but basically it says like this. Look. When you were taught the Mishnah, you were taught it with the following girsa. Now you were taught with the girsa of tarte, meaning apparently, and this part gets a little bit, it's a little bit strange, but when Rebbe was teaching over the Mishnayos, so he didn't teach the exact same girsa to all of his students. Meaning when Rebbe taught the Mishnah to his son, Rebbe Shimon, he taught him the Mishnah with a dual girsa. Meaning a dual girsa, meaning two cases. The two cases that he taught his son is Kezias, Kezias, and he also taught his son the case of Kezias, Vikazias. So in other words, the case in which there is a clear debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah and the Chachamim is a case where, are two cases. Both where he said Kezias, Kezias, without the Vav. And he also taught in the case of Kezias, Vikazias. Now, if that's the girsa that you were taught from the Mishnah, so then the answer to the question is pretty clear. Meaning, since those are the two cases that were articulated, so now, the only case that's not mentioned in the Mishnah is where it's one single kezias, where two machshavas were thought about on that one kezias. That case was left out of the Mishnah. You know why it was left out of the Mishnah? Because there's no debate on such a case. Fine. But that's if you were taught kezias, 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 vikezias. However, Levi, when he learned the Mishnah, when he was taught the Mishnah, was only taught one girsa in the Mishnah. Meaning only one case in the Mishnah. Now, which case was Levi taught? The Gemara now is going to clarify that very point. V'hai isnaya. The Gemara now asks the question, which case was taught to Levi? Ile mekezayis v'kezayis asnei halav shiruhu. So the Gemara says, look, if he was taught kezayis v'kezayis, now remember in my introduction, how did it go in the depth chart? Now the case that is most obviously debated is kezayis kezayis, without the vav. The case that could or could not be debated is kezayis v'kezayis. The case that is clearly not open to debate is where it's one kezayis and two machshavas on the one kezayis. Right? Cases 1, 2, and 3. So the Gemara says, look, if the case that was taught to Levi was the case of kezayis v'kezayis, so that's number 2. If they're debating in that case of kezayis v'kezayis, they're for sure debating kezayis, kezayis without the vav, and so therefore there's nothing left to speculate. Ela kezayis, kezayis, asne. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So now we know that what Levi was taught was only one case, and specifically the case of kezayis, kezayis without the vav. Now, it leaves open the following possibility. We know that if it's one kezayis with two machshavos, no debate in the Mishnah, that's erev machshavos. We know if it's kezayis, kezayis without the vav, debate in the Mishnah. But now what's left open now is kezayis, vikezayis. That's the case now that's left open. So, v'tibayle, kezayis, vikezayis. So the Gemara says to Levi, well, if that's true, so then turn to Rebbe and ask him the middle case. Ask him the case of kezayis v'kezayis. Savar. Ibai min echad de shamina tarte. De iba ina kezayis v'kezayis hanicha. Levi says, look, I'm ready to ask him one question that's going to give me every answer that I need. Because, and it's funny, by the way, because you think, in other words, Levi was entitled to ask Rebbe more than one question. But still, you see how thoughtful they were, meaning even when, I'm sure Levi had the opportunity to ask more than one question to Rebbe, but in other words, still he was ready to be extraordinarily conservative in the number of the questions that he asked his Rebbe, where if he asked him one question and he was able to get every answer, better off that way. So he says, look, if I would have asked him kezayis v'kezayis hanicha, I amar li klala kol sheken kezayis l'macha b'chutz. Because look, if I asked him the question of kezayis v'kezayis, and he told me that is considered one klala, meaning according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's one erev machshavos. So then kol sheken kezayis l'macha b'chutz. Eli amar li prata. But in other words, if I asked him the case of kezayis v'kezayis, and he would have said to me, "Oh, that case." No, Rabbi Yehuda argues in that case. But still, a kati kezayis l'macha b'chutz kamei ba'elei. But still, that leaves open the possibility, at least the possibility, that in the case where it's one kezayis with a machshava of lamachar and bachutz, maybe Rabbi Huda argues in that case as well. But ihachi hashanami atein achi amar li kezayis lamachar bachutz prata kosheken kezayis v'kezayis ala I amar li klala akati kezayis v'kezayis mibayle. So the Gemara says, but if I ask him the question of kezayis, one kezayis lamachar and bachutz, and he answers me that Rabbi Yehuda argues in that case. Well, for sure he's going to argue in the case of Kezayis v'Kezayif. However, if he tells me that in the case of Kezayis l'machar b'chutz is klala, meaning that's Erev Machshavas, but I would still say that Kezayis v'Kezayif mi'bayle, well, maybe the case of Kezayis v'Kezayif would be different. So the Gemara says, im kein mirsach rasach. Hashta Kezayis u'Kezayis klala Kezayis l'machar b'chutz mi'baye. But to that, Levi says no. Meaning, if I ask them the question of one Kezayis, Lamachar and Bachutz, and I get an answer from him, from the tone of his answer, I'll know the answers to all questions. Because let's say he gets annoyed with me. Right? Let's say I ask him the question of one Kezayis, Lamachar and Bachutz. And he looks at me and he gives me an answer of, well, of course that's going to be considered, Of course that's going to be a case where it's Erev Machshavas, where it's one Machshava, or I should say it's, right, the two of them are combined together, and it goes without saying. Meaning if he's annoyed by that question, I'll know. Well, if he's annoyed by that question, you know why? It must be because if I said Kezayis v'Kezayis, that's considered one Machshava. So over here where it's on one Kezayis, for sure it's going to be one Machshava. So in other words, I'll basically get an answer to both of the questions simply based on the tone that he gives me. Okay. Let's just quickly summarize that piece of the Gemara. The piece of the Gemara was a little bit tricky, but the basic idea is as follows. In the case where it's Kezayis without the Vav, and he has one Kezayis Lamacher and one Kezayis Bachutz, or vice versa, we have a Machlokas in the Mishnah clearly. Meaning Rav Yehuda would say primacy, whichever one comes out first, that's a significant one, and the Chachamim say no. In other words, the Chachamim will say that that's Erev Machshavas. Meaning that it's considered that you're having dual Machshavas for both Kezayis and Bachutz, and therefore it's not Pigel. That part's clear. And if he says one Kezayis, when that one Kezayis it'll be Lamacher and Bachutz, so the Gemara says, according to everybody, that's Erev Machshavas. Clearly. According to everybody. Both according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to the Chachamim. Kezayis v'Kezayis, that part's not clear. Meaning, you can make the, on one hand, you can make the argument that Rabbi Yehuda would argue in such a case as well, because it's going on two separate Kezayisim, and Rabbi Yehuda would still have the primacy effect where, whichever one comes out first, that's what it is. Meaning, if it's Chutz Uzmano comes out first, it's Chutz Uzmano. Chutz Umkamo comes out first, it's Chutz Umkamo. Chachamim say no, it's Erev Machshavos. And, or no, maybe no. Maybe by virtue of the fact that he says Vav, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that in such a scenario it's considered a collection of machshavas, and Rabbi Yehuda would say that it becomes now not pigel major. Itmar. Okay, and for the rest of today's daf, we are now at the top of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, and right after the parentheses, for the rest of today's daf, we're going to basically go over an assortment of different questions about Erev Machshavas. Again, the rule is really simple. After you get the rule down, you understand all these questions are simple applications of the rule. The rule is that if a person were to have a combination of a chutz uzmano and chutz umkamo, meaning barring the sheet of Rav Yehuda, the Chachamim say that's what's called Erev Machshavas, it's considered a mixture of Machshavas, and therefore it's not subject to pigel. Pigel is only when you have only the Machshava of chutz uzmano and not chutz umkamo. That's the rule. And then the rest is just now applications. Itmar. So the Gemara says, let's start off with the following question. Chatzi zayitz chutz uzmano, chatzi zayitz chutz umkamo, v'chatzi zayitz chutz umkamo. I'm sorry, chutz uzmano. Okay. Let's say it outside. It's much easier for me to say it outside. Let's say the person has the following machshava. The Kohen, while doing the avoda, considers how he's going to eat a half a kezayis outside his prescribed time. Okay? That's a chutz uzmano. But it's only going on half a shear. Then he says, number two, I'm going to eat a chatzi zayis chutz umkamo. Fine. And then he says, a chatzi zayis chutz uzmano. So it's three half kezayisim. One on chutz uzmano, second on chutz umkamo, third on chutz uzmano. So what do we say at this point in time? So we have over here two opinions in the Gemara. Amar Rava v'yikatz ki yashan ha-pigel. So Rava says, basically, chozer v'neir. I'm borrowing an expression. You learn your day, you learn ta'arovis. So you've heard this expression before, chozer v'neir, meaning basically reawakens it. Meaning, let's think this through. Meaning, if I were to take a sum total, right? Let's do a little bit of accounting. If I take a sum total of his machshavas, so what does he have as on the two columns? On the column of chutz uzmano, he ends up with a full kezayis of consumption chutz uzmano. On the Chutzim Kama, he only has a half kezias. So if that's where we're ending up on the bookkeeping, so what will I say? Well, if I have a full kezias of Chutzim Mano and only a half a kezias of Chutzim Kama, so then we say that the machshav of Chutzim Mano obviously is significant. So, and that's Rava's argument. Vayikat keyashana pigol, meaning you woke up the pigol, being that when all said and done, you have a full kezias of Chutzim Mano.
You had a hefsek
though. Ah. And Rav Hamanuna will argue, exactly, Danny, very good. And so Rav Hamanuna Amar Erev Machshavas Havi. And Rav Hamanuna says, no, it's Erev Machshavas, because Rav Hamanuna says, well, let's look at it from this perspective. Meaning we've already learned together, right? Rava made this point. By the way, it's fascinating. Rava made the point, a couple dapim ago, that you can have a chutzim mano, chutzim koma be mitzarif one with another. Meaning they're related to one another. Chutzim mano, chutzim koma relate to one another. Rava, remember, Rava learned out both of these halachas from one pasuk, and one of the 10 halachas that Rava taught us on the bottom of Chav Chesam and Beis, to the top of Chav Tesam and Aleph. One of the 10 halachas that we learned together is mitzarif. Melamitsha, mitzarif, and zayim zeh. They combine one with another. Now, in other words, they're not going to combine to create nisar kares, but they will combine to create pigel. So if I start off with a chatzi zayis of chutzim mano, followed then by chatzi zayis of chutzim kamo, so we have min now hitzarfus, they combine one with another. So now you have a full shear of chutz, of pigel. Pigel minor, not pigel major, but still, you have a full shear. Now you have later at a subsequent point another chatzi zayis of zmano, who cares? Meaning, we now registered as pigel, pigel minor, not pigel major, but it's now registered as pigel, so that's it, we're done. That's Rav Hamanuna's argument. And now, so the Gemara is gonna try to see which of these two positions are more precedent in halacha. So Amar Rav Menamina Ladidan. So Rav says, look, I'll prove my point. Let's consider the following Mishnah together. It's a Mishnah Taharos. The Mishnah details the following. Kebeitza ochel rishon, uchebeitza ochel sheni, shebalam zebezeb. I have two foods. One is made up of food that's tame with a rishon latuma, and the second food is tame with a sheni latuma. Okay, I'm assuming right now we all know the basic rules of that about tuma and transmission of tuma. So now I have two foods get mixed up together. One was the rishon, the other one was the sheni. Sheni shabalam zebezeh, rishon. How do we view these two foods that get mixed up together? These two foods that get mixed up together now have the status of a rishon. Because consider. In other words, one of the foods is a higher level of tumah, meaning that's obviously the rishon l'tumah. The second food is only a sheni. When they get mixed up together, the rishon is still identified as a rishon l'tumah. The fact that it's got some sheni l'tumah mixed in together with it, okay, but when all said and done, if you were to touch that food now has the status of rishon l'tumah. If that food, let's say for example, touches truma, the truma obviously is not only pasul, but it's also tumah as well. Meaning the truma now that touches it becomes a sheni l'tumah. Okay, fine. No, we're not saying that. We're simply, the status of the whole thing is a rishon. Despite the fact that it's got sheni mixed in it, but still, when all said and done, it's got rishon. Right now, we're just simply saying that even though the two get mixed up together, the identity of the rishon is not lost, and it's still a rishon latuma. That's what we're saying. Chilkan ze sheni vze sheni. Ah. But now, the Mishnah over here describes the following scenario. Let's say I were to take now these two foods, which let's assume are evenly distributed one with another, and then I separate them into two. So now I separate them into two. Now we have a really interesting phenomenon. In other words, the two separated foods, I started off with the kezias of each, they got mixed together, they get blended together, and now they get separated. Now the separated foods are assuming an equal distribution. The separated foods are, each one is made up of a composite of a half a kezias of rishon and half a kezias of sheni. The other food also, half a kezias of rishon, half a kezias of sheni. Well, each one of them do not have a full kezias of rishon, so now they each get downgraded to a sheni l'tuma. Because in each food now, as they are divided, each one of them has no less than a sheni l'tuma. Meaning each one is a composite of rishon and sheni. Again, you don't have a full kezias of rishon in each one of the foods, fine. But in other words, each food has half rishon, half sheni. Certainly the half rishon is no worse than being a sheni. So in other words, basically each food now is considered a sheni l'tumah. Fine. Now, that's where the Mishnah ends. Now, let's go one step further. Even though the Mishnah doesn't say this. Let's say I took those two foods and I recombined them. If I took those two foods and I recombined them, what would you argue? Would you argue now that the Rishons get together once again, and now the food becomes a Rishon Letuma, or no? So, that's what the Gemara is going to try to argue. Ha-chazer v'irvan Rishon Haveh. If I took the two foods and put them back together again, do they not become reconstituted Rishon Letuma? So, and now, if this is correct, now that's a big if, but if this is correct, so we are now discussing the case of Machshava when it comes to Chutzuzmano Chutzulimkamo. You start off with a Chatzizayis Chutzuzmano. Add to that a Chatzizayis of Chutzulimkamo. And now add another Chatzizayis of Chutzuzmano. So just like in the case of Tumma, when I put them back together, it gets reconstituted. Here too, when I take the third Chatzizayis of Chutzuzmano and put it together with the first Chatzizayis of Chutzuzmano, so doesn't it now reconstitute? Chozer v'neir, mimai. The Gemara says, I don't think you're right. Midiktani seifa nafal zebatzma v'zebatzma kikar shal truma psula. Naflu shneim ka'achas asua shnia. Misha talks about where these two foods, after they were divided, so fall on truma. Naflu zebatzma v'zebatzma kikar shal truma psula. Paslua. They disqualify the truma. In general, you need to know this in order, when you learn Mishnayos about tumah and tahara. Truma can only become a shlishi. When we say the truma becomes pasul, we mean that the truma becomes a shlishi. Why? Because pasul, when it comes to talking about tumah tahara, means end of the road. In other words, it can't transmit it any further. So if any of these foods come into contact with truma, the truma becomes pasul. That means the truma is a shlishi, which means that each one of these were a sheni. Good. So nafal zeba atzma v'zeba atzma kikar shel truma pasul. Naflu shneim ka'achas asu ashniya. Now the clear indication is that if they combine together and they hit the truma in a combined form, the truma now is a sheni. Fine. V'Rav Hamnuna Amar Hasam Ikashura Hachalakashura. So Rav Hamnuna will argue and Rav Hamnuna will say, well, okay, I agree with you, meaning there's nothing to disagree with. The Mishnah says it very clearly, that once the two come together, they reconstitute to become a Rishon. I agree. But I could still strike a simple distinction between the case of Tumah Tahara and our case over here. Just as an interesting note, I say parenthetically, he could have just simply said, that's Tumah Tahara, this is Kachim, it's apples and oranges, it's two different topics. He doesn't say that, meaning there's an underlying assumption throughout this whole discussion that the concepts are the same concepts, even though they have different applications. But still, even conceptually, what Rav Hamnuna will tell you is that the cases are different. I'll tell you why. Because over there, when we're talking about the two kazesim combining, splitting, and reconstituting, and coming together again, when all said and done, you actually have a physical shear. Meaning, what was the problem? The problem was is that when they were divided, so each kazais was now a composite of Shani and Rishon getting mixed together. But when they come back together again, the Rishon and Shani now are reconstituted, but because you actually have the physical kazesim back together again. But it's not true. The status never changed. Meaning that when they were divided, they were just simply, it wasn't a status change, they just didn't have a Rishon, a kazais of Rishon. You had a half a kazais of Rishon, half a kazais of Shani. Status didn't change, it's just simply what you work with what you have. But once you put them back together again, so you have now full kazayas of Rishon and Sheni.
But they assume a collective status though.
Right. But over here, however, you don't have physical shiurim. Meaning we're talking about putting together machshavas. A chatzi kazayas of zman, chatzi kazayas of makamo, another chatzi kazayas of zman. You want to put that together with one, but over there you're not actually reconstituting physical entities. You're trying to put together machshavos. Rav Hamnuna says, I think it's different. I think even from a conceptual standpoint, I still think it's different. Amar Rav Hamnuna mana amin ala didna. Rav Hamnuna says, now I'm going to show you a Mishnah, and my Mishnah will indicate that I'm right. Because ha'ochel shenitma ba'avatama v'shenitma bevladatama. Mitzarfim im ze latame bekal shebishneim. If let's say I have a food that becomes tummy with an avatama, so that food is now a Rishon. Who gets mixed together with a food that was tamei with a sheni l'tumah? Now the Shein Latumah is, a food that gets tummy from a Vlada Tumah, right? And let's assume that the Vlada is a Sheini. So the, or better yet, the Vlada is a Rishon, but still. In other words, now that food is a Sheini. Let me put it in simpler terms. I have now a Rishon and a Sheini get mixed together. Mitzarfim Zem Zed, they combine with one another. Latame Bekal Shebishnayim. Now, in their combined form, what level of tumah, what degree of tumah are they going to be mitame other foods? On the lesser of the two. Meaning if it's a Rishon and a Sheini get mixed together, so now the full kazayis of this mixture is only going to be mitame on the level of a Sheini. Now, my love, alpha gav dahadar malye. So the Gemara says, now Rav Hamnuna is making the argument. Now again, that's where the Mishnah ends. Now from this point forward, it's conjecture. Let's speculate that from this point going forward, if let's say I were to add more Rishon, so then eventually when I add enough Rishon, where I have a kazayas of Rishon altogether, so then the food is going to be a full Rishon. Dilma deloha damalia. The Gemara says no. The Gemara says maybe the Mishnah is only talking about a case where it doesn't get reconstituted. Meaning from the Mishnah itself, I don't know what the halacha would be if it was, even if it was subsequently reconstituted. Okay. So far, what do we have on the table? The case of Chatzi Zayis Mekomo, followed then by a Machshav of Chatzi Zayis. Sorry, let me say it better. Chatzi Zayis Lizmano, Chus Lizmano, Chatzi Zayis Chutz Mekomo, Chatzi Zayis Chutz Zman, Makom Zman. Chatzi Zayis of each one of them. And what would be the halacha in that case? Meaning Rav and Rav Hamnuna arguing. And basically the argument is Chozer Meneir. Can the third Chatzi Zayis combine with the first Chatzi Zayis? Rav says yes, Rav Hamnuna says no. Next case of the Gemara. Ki also Rav Dimi Amar Chatzi Zayis Chutz Mekomo, Chatzi Zayis Chutz Zmano, VeChatzi Zayis Chutz Zmano. Here now, we're just basically playing around with different permutations. Here, the first Chatzi Zayis is Makom. Second Chatzi Zayis is Zman. Third Chatzi Zayis is Zman. What would we say in this case? Tani Bar Kapara Pigol, Ein Chatzi Zayis Mawal B'Makom Kazayis. So Bar Kapara taught in such a case, I think for sure it's Pigol. Pigol meaning Pigol Major. Meaning that this now is a full-fledged pigle of Chutz Zmano. Over here, it's not like the previous case. In the previous case, we had to take one and three and put them together, and they're separated by two. Here, we're just simply taking two and three and putting them together. Now, the counter-argument over here is, but wait one second. The first Chatzi Zayis was Chutz Mekomo, and the second Chatzi Zayis was Chutz Zman. So can't you make the argument now that the one and two combine one another, and the Mitzarev? We're not talking about eating a full kazayis.
Consuming.
But no, we're not even talking about that as well. We're talking about having a machshava.
Machshava to do something with it.
Yeah, but the significant in part is the machshava.
Sorry?
I understand that, but the machshava is here is a significant point. It's not the actual eating.
No, but it's a machshava from action to do a certain...
I understand that, but the machshava is a significant point over here. It's not the eating. It's not the actual eating. In other words, what is a significant machshava? A significant machshava is either to eat a kazayis or to outside its prescribed time, or to eat it outside a prescribed place. We're not. In other words, this is all pigle. This is an entire discussion pigle.
Why can't you say that since you only have the machshava to do chatzish year, right? His machshava has like no significance whatsoever because you're not going to accomplish it.
In other words, but we also know there's a concept of its starfish. In other words, they combine. Right, that was clearly articulated before. So they, in other words, the two machshavas are going to combine. So over here, what gets combined with what? So that becomes very significant. If the zman and the makom get combined, so it's pigel minor. If the zman and the zman get combined, it's pigel major. So in the case of where zman is one and three and makom is number two, that's what we discussed previously. Now we're discussing what if makom is one and zman are two and three. So what the Gemara now is arguing is that for sure combines to make pigel major. Ki asa, yeah, agreed. Ki asa rav and amar chatzi zayis chutz zman of chatzi zayis chutz zman of chatzi zayis chutz mekomo. So here now a slightly different version of the discussion. It's basically the zman is one and two, and then makom is number three. So dini bar kapar pigel ein chatzi zayis moa b'makom kezayis. So here the argument could have been, well, makom comes at number three. Makom will combine with, three will combine with two. Or maybe three will combine with one. But three will combine with two to create pigel minor, not pigel major. And again, the argument is no. Meaning once Pigel Major has been created by one and two, so that's it. Rav Ashi Masni Hachi, and a third version of the same discussion. Chatzi Zayis Chutzuz Manu, Chatzi Zayis Chutzum Kamo, Vechatzia Chutzuz Manu, Tani Bar Kapara Pigel, Ein Chatzi Zayis Mo, B'makam Kezayis. Here, we go back to the discussion we had before, where Zman is one and three, Makam is number two, one and three combined with one another. Okay. Icon. That takes us to the end of those permutations. The Gemara continues now with other real fine-tuned questions about having a machshava pigel. Am Rabbi Yanai. Chishev sheya'achluhu kolavim lamachar. Let's say the thought was as follows. Again, in other words, in order for it to be pigel, the machshava has to be going on consumption. You and I thought prior to this Gemara that we're about to learn right now, it has to be the consumption of a human being. What the Gemara now is going to suggest, and more than suggest, is that it doesn't even have to be a human. Meaning as long as somebody consumes it, and it could even be, seemingly, a dog.
Is it done?
Huh?
You don't get a check for the Avodah if the animal is just you.
Let's go back. In other words, this is going on the Machshava. A Machshava that it will be consumed.
For people to get a check, everything has to be done properly.
Right. Right.
So if an animal is going to, it's not being done properly.
In other words, right now that we're talking about what is a machshavas pigel. A machshavas pigel is a thought the Kohen has while doing the avoda that it will be consumed beyond its prescribed time or prescribed place. We're just now testing the limits of what is considered consumption. In other words, the consumption for sure is if the Kohen thinks how a person's going to eat it. A consumption is also considered if the mizbech is going to eat it. Would a consumption also be considered a consumption in this halacha if a dog is going to eat it? Okay. So, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Chisha she'achlu klavim l'machar pigol d'chziv, v'esi zevel yachlu klavim b'chelek Yisrael. So, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Navi. In other words, Yisrael, the Navi prophesizes how she's going to be eaten and consumed by the dogs. Right? The Gemara elsewhere talks about how her hands and feet were not consumed. Right? She did a couple good things in her lifetime. I forget where the Gemara was, but the Gemara elsewhere talks about how her hands and feet were not consumed. Okay, it's a strange detail, but easy to remember. Anyway, but she's going to be consumed by the dog. So over here right now, or just with blinders on, what are we looking at right now in the pasuk? How you see the word achila and kelev like right next to each other in the Navi. So Maskel Rabbi Amiel and Yata Chishav Shetochlu Eish Lamacher Dichsiv Tochlu Eish Lo Nofach Hachanami De Pigol. So the Gemara says, really, a dog is considered a consumption. Let me ask you a simple question: how about fire? Is fire considered consumption? Now I also quote to you a pasuk in Navi. Right back then, they knew Navi back and forth. They knew it inside out, like a pasuk in Iyov. Right, pasuk in Iyov Tochlu Eish. So you have the word Achila and Eish next to one another. So fire is also consumption. And the Gemara says, now, that is a ridiculous conclusion. I'll tell you why. Because, now, we learned in the Mishnah that I can't be mitzaref a chatzi zayis of human consumption and a chatzi zayis of mizbeach consumption. Now, mizbeach consumption is what? It's fire. So you're telling me now, a dog eating, that's achila. A fire eating, that's also achila? Can't be. The Mishnah tells us that achilas Adam and achilas Mizbech cannot combine. But what is achilas Mizbech? It's nothing more than just a fire. And you're telling me that fire is considered consumption. So, idafke balashan achila hachaname, achim b'maizkin, idafke balashan haktara. So the Gemara gives a really, really fine-tuned answer. The Gemara says, look, if I'm using the word achila, so then yeah, fire is also considered a consumer. Meaning, as long as I use the word achila. The reason why in the Mishnah doesn't combine it, because I didn't use the word achila, I used the word haktara. Haktara is limited to the mizbech. The lashon achila l'chud, the lashon haktara l'chud. Vay rav Ashi chishev l'echol kezayis b'sheni, b'shnei b'nei adamahu. Basa machshava azlin adik ashira, basa ochlin azlin v'lek ashira. Once again now, the Gemara is testing the limits of what is considered a machshavas pigol vis-a-vis consumption. Consumption, we know it's a kezayis. That part's clear. The Mishnah told us that. A kezayis has to be eaten by one person, or can a kezayis be eaten by two people? Vis-a-vis the machshava, I do have a kezayis on the other hand. Maybe it has to conform to the regular rules of achila. which is that achila is only significant when one person eats the one kezayis. Amar Rabbi Tashma lechol kechatzi zayis laakter kechatzi zayis kasher. Shein achila vaktar mitzarfen. Again, we turn back to our Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says, if I have an intent of half a kezayis being eaten by a person, half a kezayis being eaten by the mizbech, they don't combine, two different consumers. Let's now make a deal. We're on the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Ha le'echol v'le'echol dumya de'le'echol u'lahatir ve'hechadami b'shnei b'nei adam mitzarish shmamina. So the Gemara says, now the deal is very good. Because what's the deal? If I took a parallel case of the Mishnah, where instead of Mizbeach, I substitute the second consumer with a person, they would be Mitzarif. What did we just learn together? Half a Kezayis being eaten by one person, half a Kezayis being eaten by another person, they do combine. So in other words, what's significant by this Machshava is a Kezayis to be consumed. Be consumed by two different people, that doesn't bother us.
Who's going to get the card, the consumer or the Kohen?
Consumer. Consumer. Again,
he has to know that the Kohen made this pickle and he's still going to go ahead and eat it and he's going to get the card.
Right. In other words, right. The point we made very clear is that, in other words, you get curries for eating it. You don't get curries for making pigle. For making pigle, it's a lav. And not only that, as we learned just the other day, it's lav shein b'maisa, meaning you're not going to even get malchus for it. Some tanaim say you do, but the halach is you don't.
So basically, it behooves the Kohen to tell the consumer that I had this machshava and shouldn't eat it.
Right. Correct. And again, it goes back to the most basic question, which, you know, I've asked many times, and there is no, I don't have a good answer. What would motivate a Kohen to do this? Meaning it's, you know, it's crazy. That, in other words, while doing the avoda, he's now going to create something that has an Issachar to it.
Also, if it gets consumed,
yeah, in other words, right. A Mizbeach is also considered a consumer. That's, right? That's, we'll learn that together in the Mishnah as well. By Rav, Achishav Lachol Kezayis, Again, all these questions now, it's funny. Once you know we're testing the limits of what is the definition of achila, like, you know, in other words, it's all these questions. I don't want to say we could have come up with these questions, but like they're all like natural products of testing the definition of achila. Well, you know that for you and I to consider achila, we have to eat a certain amount within a certain time. Bechtei achilas pras. Okay, whatever that number comes out to, right? I've heard ranges of 4, 9 minutes, whatever. In other words, but for us to eat, either as an avera or as a mitzvah, in either direction, so we have to eat it within a certain time frame of a day achilas pras. When the Kohen has a machshava of eating a kezayis of a carbon, chutzus man or chutzum kamo, does it have to be within the parameters of kedei achilas pras? Let's say, for example, the Kohen says, you know what? We're going to eat this outside prescribed time, but we're going to slow eat it. We're going to eat it. We're going to take longer than the kedei achilas pras. Is that considered a machshava, a significant machshava? So, lachilas gavah medaminalei or lachilas hejo medaminalei. Now, the way the Gemara phrases the question: do we compare it to achilas gavoa? You know, when something goes up onto the mizbeach, again, we call the mizbeach a consumer. How quickly is the mizbeach eating it? The answer is really simple: as fast as the fire burns it. And right now, the Gemara is assuming the fire's not going to burn it that fast. Meaning, a fire can't burn food any quicker than you and I can actually eat it, right? So, Amar Rabbi Tashma, lechol kechatzi zayis lahakter kechatzi zayis kasher. Shein achil v'aktar mitzarfin. Taima de lechol lahakter, ha lechol v'lechol mitzarif. V'ha haktar b'yosu mechtei achilas prasu. So the Gemara again now makes this assumption that I just put forward. Like the fire's not going to burn it any quicker than we're going to eat it. So the Gemara says, duma behesek gadol. And the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Maybe the assumption is wrong. Maybe the fire that's burning right now is a huge fire, and you throw something on that fire and it burns it really quickly. Meaning as fast as you and I would eat it. So in other words, from the Mishnah, there's no good raya. Continuing in the Mishnah, the alechol kechatzi zayis lahakter kechatzi zayis kasher. Time of the alechol lahakter. Halechol alechol davar shein dark alechol mitzarif. Now, we've had this discussion before. Let's have it again. Let's say the Kohen's machshava is that a person is going to eat a part of the carbon that he shouldn't be eating. For example, the imurim. Imurim cannot be eaten by you and I. In fact, the imurim, it's prohibited for you and I to eat the imurim. What has to be done with the imurim? It goes up onto the mizbeach. What if the Kohen during the machshava thinks how the owner or anybody is going to eat the imurim? Is that considered machshava? A diak in the Mishnah would seem to indicate that would be considered machshava. The problem, of course, is that's the diuk indicates that, but the beginning of the Mishnah tells us exactly the opposite. Ha ketani resha. Lechol et shadarko lechol. Et shadarko lechol en shein darko lo. Meaning, if you read the beginning of the Mishnah, it's only a significant machshava when the Kohen thinks about how a portion of the carbon is going to be eaten that can be eaten by you and I. So, Amr of Yirmiyah Hamani, Rabbi Eliezer, Damar Mechash, Meachilas Adam, Lachilas Mizbeach, Umechilas Bez, Lachilas Adam, Ditnana, Shochet is a Zevach, Lechol, Davashin, Darko, Lechol, Lachir, Davashin, Darko, Lachir, Kasher, Rabbi Lazar, Posa. So, one approach of the Gemara is that when we get to the end of the Mishnah, we make the Diuk in the Mishnah, that Diuk is going like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer happens to be of the opinion that even if the Kohen thinks about how a person is going to eat the Imurim, even though he confused consumers, a person can't eat the Imurim, but still, Rabbi Elazar views that as a machshava of pigul. And even though the beginning of the Mishnah clearly doesn't agree with that, that's one approach. That the end of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer. Abaye Amar Afilu Temer Rabbanan. And Abaye says, no, let's not say that. Let's say that the entire Mishnah consistently follows like the Chachamim. And as far as the diuk is concerned, don't make the diuk that we just made. In other words, when the Mishnah at the end is talking about combining that which you eat and that which the Mizbeach eats, which is not combined, so the diuk would be, but if it were a chatzis ice of what you eat, followed then by chatzis ice of what you eat, meaning things that you're allowed to eat, that would combine. So the Gemara says, okay, if that were the Deek of the Mishnah, let me ask you now a simple question. What's new? Meaning, there is now no point being taught from that Deek. My Kamashmalan. E davish darko lechol kamashmalan mireisha, shema mina kechatzis ice bechutz kechatzis ice amacher pasol, e lechol lahakter miduk yedereisha, shema mina. Lechol davish darko lechol in, shein darko lechol lo. Hashem alechol lechol davish shein darko lechol lo mitzarif lechol lahakter mibaye, meaning, any point that we're now going to try to deduce from this diuk is things we already learned together. Lecho lahakter, it's direct. So the Gemara says, no. I'll tell you what the diuk was coming to teach us. That achila and akhtara can combine. Sagadat chamina hasam hu delav ki orche ka mechashev. Avahacha de bahai ki orche vahai ki orche. Eima litzdarif kamash malan. The Gemara says, no, but still the Mishnah's point is still significant. Why? Because let's consider. If the Kohen only had a chatzik as ice of something that you eat, and a chatzik is also something that the Mizbeach eats, even though you eat the portion that you're allowed to eat, and the Mizbeach consumes the portion that you're it's allowed to eat, I might have thought that they should not be able to combine. Kamashmalan, the Chiddush, I'm sorry, I thought that they should be able to combine, so Kamashmalan, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is no, that they can't combine, because again, Achila and Akhtara, even though each is eating their respective portions that they're allowed to eat, but nevertheless though, I'm sorry. The Havamin is that they should combine, and the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that they're not allowed to combine. Okay. And Adkan, that brings us now, right now currently, I promise you it's going to come back again, but that brings us now to the end of the discussion of Pigel within the Gemara. Today, what we discussed were basically stretching the parameters of what falls under the category of Pigel and what combines. So again, most of our discussion today revolved around the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, where Rav Yehuda says primacy, meaning whichever machshava comes first, that's what it is. If the zman comes first, though, it's pigel major. If the makom comes first, it's pigel minor. The chachamim disagree. Whenever you have a mixture of machshavas, it will always be considered erev machshavas, resulting in pigel minor, not pigel major. And then what we discussed today is, first, the question of the parameters of that machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the chachamim. What if I say kezayis, kezayis? What if I say kezayis, vikezayis? And what if I say one kezayis with a dual machshava of chutzas mano and chutzim kama? And various opinions amongst the Amoraim in terms of where they're going to debate, where they're not going to debate. And then followed up by a discussion in the Gemara of reconstitution. If let's say the Kohen has a machshava of chatzizayis of zman, followed then by makom, chatzizayis of makom, followed then by chatzizayis of zman. So do I say that one and three combine with one another? All right, a principle in halacha known normally is as chozer v'neir. So do we have such a principle? In Tumah Tahara, we do have this idea of reconstitution, but does it translate over here? Rav Hamnun and Rava argue that very point. And then we explore today the topic of what falls under the category of a consumer. Is a consumer limited to human beings, or can a consumer be dogs, fire? Another discussion in the Gemara. And finally, the last discussion of the Gemara that we had today was talking about hitzarfus of achila and haktara. Achila and haktara cannot combine with one another. in a parallel scenario where if, let's say, it was not achila and aktara, but achila and achila of something that a person cannot eat, like the Emorim, is that going to combine with one another? And that, as we saw earlier, that's also machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. And just a question of whether or not the end of our Mishnah adopts the opinion of Rabbi Elazar or does not adopt the opinion of Rabbi Elazar.